In this episode of In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics, we visit with offense coordinator Brian Callahan. The Bengals win a seat squirmer, 27-24 over the Vikings in overtime. The home opener had to overcome adversity at a 14-point lead. Vikings tie it up. Vikings driving to win the football game. The only takeaway of the game, Evan McPherson ends it. The youngest kicker to win a game at the gun. That's the only game he's won at the gun. High school, college, or National Football League. A lot of good stuff to talk about with offensive coordinator Brian Callahan. Welcome once again to our beautiful studios, First Star Logistics. You're in the trenches with Dave Lapham. Special guest today, offensive coordinator Brian Callahan. We're talking about a scintillating 27-24 overtime victory. Cincinnati Bengals edged the Minnesota Vikings in a hard-fought contest. And coach, welcome, first of all. And I thought both teams played hard.
Yeah, it was a hard-fought battle. Our guys played as hard as, you know, we've had a hard playing team here for a couple of years, I've always felt like. And now that we put it together with some good players, and our guys, they fought hard. They ran, our running backs ran hard. Our receivers finished with violence in the pass game. We had some good run after catch spots. I thought it was just a really well played game up front. Our guys battled for a whole game. I thought the veteran presence of those guys that play a lot of football helped in those situations as the game wore on. And, you know, they really did a nice job. You watch our defense and special teams too. I think you saw a lot of the same thing. So two teams, I think, that are really that played, gave everything they had on a Sunday in a hot afternoon game in Cincinnati. And looked like it was an enjoyable game to watch, at least for if you were just a fan. It was a little bit tighter than that as it went along for us. But it was good. It was really, really proud of the way our guys played.
I call them the J triplets, I guess, because the triplets made famous in Dallas. You know, you get your quarterback, your running back, wide receiver. I'll call it the J triplets. Joe Burrow is in the top five in the National Football League in quarterback rating after week one. Joe Mixon leads the NFL in rushing after week one. Going into Monday Night Football, there's one game to be played. And Chase is in the top 10 in receiving yards in the National Football League. He's a 100-yard-plus receiver. Joe Mixon, 100-yard-plus rusher. Joe Burrow completed a high percentage for over 260 yards, two touchdowns. Pretty good performance by the triplets.
Yeah, it's a good. I like that. Lap. It's a good nickname for them. They played well. You know, those are the guys that we lean on to be our best players. You know, particularly Joe Burrow and Joe Mixon. Those guys wear the C on their chest, and we expect big things out of them. They're leaders of our offense, and to see them go out and perform the way they did was fun to watch. I expected that to be the case. I was really excited about how those guys would play going into the game. I told our unit that as such on Saturday morning. I was as excited as I've been in my coaching career, I think, to just go see a group play just because I know how hard they've worked. I know that what's went into it for all of them individually and collectively. And it was just really cool to see those guys go out and play well. And they worked for it. They earned it. Jamar put on the field on Sunday, all the things that we've seen from him in practice for the last 2 weeks. You know, he did a really good job. He was doing all the things right. He was getting open. And a couple of drops kind of marred that what we saw to what was being portrayed publicly. And we didn't have any doubt that he was going to be able to make an impact for us. And he did, and in a big way. And to go over 100 yards in your first game is a pretty good test. And then hopefully that continues as the season goes along because, T. Higgins had some chances too. T. Higgins had a 26-yard DPI penalty on a free play that doesn't show up in the stat line, but that would have put T. close to that 100-yard mark as well. So, two really good receivers on the outside, and they played big.
When you look at the running game, the only run that I can remember that went for negative yards was the jet sweep to Chase, you know, that went for minus two. Mm-hmm. Every time you ran the football, you know, in the more traditional sense as such, you know, the fourth and one, obviously Joe Mixon didn't gain anything. But other than that, I don't remember a no gain or a tackle for loss. You guys got pretty consistent push, didn't you?
Yeah, our guys played really well up front. They played physical in the run game. We moved the line of scrimmage. We created some really nice lanes for the backs to cut. And I think that that's one of the things that we were looking to improve on as we came in from the offseason, is that area where we could push people around a little bit. And look, they invested a lot of money on that front in Minnesota, and I thought we handled them pretty well, particularly in the run game. I thought we were physical. We came off the ball, we covered people up, and we gave the backs opportunities to make cuts and get extra yardage. And I thought the yards got the yards grew as the game wore on. You know, we ran the ball heavy in that overtime, and I thought that that was where it showed up the most after a game worth of pounding on them. All of a sudden, some of those lanes popped open for some bigger runs, and that's what you want. You want to be able to be efficient. I'm not saying that you're going to hand the ball to Joe 30 times every game, but when you do hand it to him, he makes it look good and makes it work. And those guys up front did a really nice job. And you know, that's an improvement we strove to make from the start of our offseason program through now. And so it was good to see it show up on Sunday. It's going to have to continue to show up for us.
Five quarterback sacks, and people are like, oh man, the offensive line. You know, now the offensive line looked like maybe responsible for a couple of them,
and then the offensive line was responsible for two of them.
Yeah,
two were on the line. Two were really on running back protection, whether a physical loss or an eye progression, that wasn't right.
Right.
One of them was on Drew Sample and on me as a coach as well. You know, they're so good at their disguises and their bluff package, and then they bring the pressures. And so, you know, we had a 7-man protection called, and they showed the look, and then they bluffed out right as Joe started his cadence, and it put Drew Sample in a 1-on-1 matchup with Danielle Hunter. Which we try like hell to avoid, I promise. Right. It's not something we want to do very often.
Right.
They got us, you know, and ultimately I think Drew could have done a better job technically, and Samaje would have been there to help a little bit faster. We should have had a double team on him with Samaje coming across, but it just, he got beat fast, and we ended up in a bad spot. And, you know, that's on us as a coaching staff, me in particular, trying to put those guys in that position. Sometimes they win too. And then the last – so that was it was the tight ends, two in the backs, and two in the line. So that's five.
So when you're going against a Mike Zimmer, double A gap, you know, defensive look, what's the key? I mean, are there rules as such? Or, I mean, they are. So, I know Paul Gunther is excellent at breaking down the opposing team's pass protections. Mike Zimmer is brilliant at it, obviously, as well. I mean, is it just almost like a guessing game as such when you're going up against that situation?
You try to work on your percentage wise too, when you think those things come and when they try to overload you. And they were a little bit more aggressive on the down and distance markers than they had been. They brought the fours and five, third and four and five, as opposed to usually the 7, 8, 9, 10s is where it shows up, and you try to be right. And then, you know, that, you know, coordinators sometimes have a pattern. They have spots in the game where they tend to be more aggressive, and we were in one of those spots, and that's with Drew's near the end, you know, kind of crunch time type of third down, and we were expecting to get pressure, and they showed it and they bluffed it. And you know, it's a chess match. You know, sometimes they move the piece and you're not in the right spot, and sometimes they get the same. You it goes back and forth. And so when you're dealing with a guy like Coach Zimmer and the success that he's had as a defensive coach in this league, there's, you know, he's probably, there's a list of three defensive coordinators that I've always had a hellacious time getting ready for, and the stress they put on you as an offense. You know, he's up there in the top three without a doubt. So that's just who they are.
You know, you gave them pause when you came out with quarterback under center as much as you did. You know, that obviously gave him a little angst. And then the two tight ends, when you came out in two tight ends, you know, they seemed to have a little issue with that. So you came out with a game plan that caused them concern as well.
I hope it worked that way. You know, I think that we as we studied our run game and where we could improve, you know, the 12 personnel packages in both the play action game and the run game, just present us some more options. It's another way to go. We were pretty good in 12 personnel last year, and we felt like expanding that package for us, particularly in this game. Not every game is going to be the same, but in this game, it would be beneficial for us. And you know, I think our guys did a good job of handling it. Our tight ends do a good job in the run game. Both CJ and Drew are really good blockers. And then, you know, there's lots of things off of that. We didn't get to all the stuff, obviously, you have up in a game plan, but we felt really good about that package of plays and our two tight end sets, both in the run run situations and in the play action pass world. So, it was productive for us, and hopefully they weren't anticipating as much of that, and it allowed us to have some success on the ground.
Fourth down, you're successful with a quarterback sneak. Then fourth and one at your own 30-yard line, you're not successful with Joe Mixon, you know, no gain. Then fourth and just a skosh. I mean, fourth and one they call it, but it was fourth and maybe a chain link or something. And you have that 32-yard pass to C.J. Uzomah. Take us through the idea behind the play, the structure of the play, what you're trying to get accomplished, and how successful it was.
It won us the game at the end of it. You know, that was a play that we always have in short yardage situations. We're always going to have two plays called to some varying degree. Sometimes it's two different runs, taking advantage of whatever it is, whatever their structure on defense is. Maybe we want to have the run go one way for one reason, and the other, they present us something else. And so we usually have two plays called. Again, it could be run to run. Sometimes they're passes to start. Sometimes it's then you change that to a run based on the front look and structure. Sometimes it's a run first, and we change it to a pass second. So we always package a lot of those plays in those situations to try to give us the most advantageous play for the look. And Joe got us to the second one. It was a pass play that we feel really good about. We've had a lot of success over our time here, and it ended up being a really ballsy throw. And CJ Uzomah did a great job. And you know, those guys have told that story on how, you know, that guy never gets that ball over the course of the history of that play. It really ever happens. And it just so happened it worked out that way. It's been a productive play for us since when we know well. And that's when you run plays that you know well like that, you get a chance to, you know, get through all these different reads and progressions. And now you feel really comfortable about it. No matter what the defense shows you, you can find a completion.
When you have a kicker like Evan McPherson, does it change your thought process as a play caller and an offensive coordinator when you cross midfield and you get into positive territory? Because you got to think the defense is saying, I got to knock him back. I mean, this kid, he's almost like Tucker with Baltimore. He's in field goal range now. Do you have to kind of try to think and guess along with, is the defense going to try to pressure us here and that's going to affect my play call here? Or do you just
I think you try to stick to the normal part. I think it comes into play when you're looking at, end of half, end of game situations where what yard line do you have to get to? It certainly helps when you only have to get to the 40,
right?
As opposed to the 33, you know. But to have a kicker, you know, I've said this before in various interviews, but I was with Matt Prater in Denver and Detroit, and he was the same. He was a similar style where he could really bomb them. That's a big difference when you're talking about just having to get just barely across midfield where you can be good from, again, in a situation where you'd want to take that shot. And so I feel like that's a weapon, you know, to have a guy that can hit from that spot at that time. That's what you want.
Final question, Coach, and appreciate your time immensely. The Chicago Bears, upcoming opponent, give us a thumbnail sketch of their defensive football team.
Very good defensive football team. You know, these NFC North teams, I played against them kind of both Minnesota and Chicago in their prime there in 16 and 17. You know, that was before Khalil Mack got there, obviously. But, you know, Khalil Mack's been one of the best defensive players in football as a pass rusher. Eddie Goldman is one of the better interior players. Keem Hicks is he looks like a – it's like if you watch the it's like the mascot scrimmage sometimes, you know. He's so big and he's so long and physical, and he makes people look silly. And so they are a really good front. You know, they got Roquan Smith in there as a first round pick, and then the back ends. You know, they got some guys that may not have household names, but they're good players. And then the scheme itself is good. You know, it's a derivative of the Vic Fangio system. Is, you know, I talk about Zimmer being a guy that I've got a ton of respect for in the top three. Well, Vic Fangio's right there with him. And it's an offshoot of that system, you know, him and Brandon Staley and those guys, you know, Sean Desai is a disciple of their system. So he'll have his own twist and spin to it, but you know, it's a good system. It's a solid, system. They don't give up a lot of explosive plays. They do a really good job of keeping offenses in check. And again, they got really good players up front, no different than this past week. And really, that's going to be the story from probably here on out. So might as well just get used to it. There's going to be good defensive fronts every week, especially in our division. So they're good tests for us. It's going to be a good battle. You know, it's their home opener. You know, we saw the effects of our home opener for us. Yeah. As far as the momentum and the energy, you know, Chicago's a good football town. They love that team. So it'll be a tough test for us on the road.
Well, congratulations on getting that win, home opener. Every game in the National Football League is a grind, Coach. I mean, it ain't easy, as you know, better than anybody. And to get a victory in the first game and to do it in front of the home fans, good stuff. Appreciate your time, sir.
Of course. Always a pleasure.
Hi, Dave Lapham here. Have you heard about In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, presented by First Star Logistics? Catch new episodes from the world of sports and broadcasting. Search for In the Trenches with Dave Lapham on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.